Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison, and this right here, right now, is Dave Cripp.
Ahoy, hoy!
Oh, we are high on energy right now.
I was trying to match your hello.
Yeah, nice.
Which was the most enthused I've heard you ever say it, I think.
Well, I was sort of overcompensating because I'm very warm right now, so I'm all like all sleepy, and I tried to push through it by being all, hey, Dave.
Yes.
This week's episode of Friends that we've done is a whole 8 minutes longer than normal.
Yeah, WT fuck. What was going on with that? It turns out it didn't run with the usual ad break, so it's like a 40-minute episode when it went on TV.
How mysterious.
So that must have been two ad breaks, I would have thought.
I mean, it doesn't really feel like much of a longer episode, if I'm honest.
No, but I'll tell you what I did notice is that it was over 15 minutes, I think, which is normally edging towards the end of an episode before we saw the piano bar.
Yes.
And I thought, I did remember thinking, there's been a lot of the other plot lines here and nothing about Mike's piano bar yet. And we know there's at least like three scenes in that.
Yeah, true.
So I did notice that as we were going.
Shall we mention what episode it is?
Oh, I guess so. I could do that if you want, Pete, in the form of a request.
Go for it. Do it. Hit me.
And the request is, Peter, as follows. Hi, Dave and Pete. Can't wait till someone has to request the one with the sharks because there are no requests left. Is that still on the list, isn't it? Yeah.
That is still on the list.
Maybe it's not anymore.
It's not anymore. It has now been requested.
So this
by three people, actually.
This dates that request, huh?
Yeah. So, no, believe it or not, there are episodes that we will be waiting longer for than the one with the sharks.
When is the one with the sharks coming up?
Quite early on in Series 10 of Friends with Friends.
Exciting. What excited. Three people.
Yeah.
Three people like shark porn.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the request continues. I'd like to request the one where Monica sings.
Wait, what's their name?
Kerry.
Kerry, the one where Monica sings. Continue.
There's a fair amount of problematic stuff in it. Ross desperately trying to get women to date him just to make Rachel jealous. The outrage of a man going to a beauty parlour. But there are also some really great moments. Joey's incredible eyebrows. Mike's awkward realization that Monica's top is see-through. Her desperate competitiveness, meaning she doesn't care if it means people like her singing. And Joey, once again, being a great friend. All the usual replies. Love the pod. You guys are awesome. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Kerry.
How's Joey a great... Oh, right. Yep, yeah, fine. Right
at the end, I think, when Rachel wants to move in with him, you know.
Got it. I was like, it just gets his eyebrows done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's fair. Would you like a synopsis?
Yeah, go for it.
The one where Monica sings. Season 9, episode 13, 175263.
Nah, not having that.
Not for me either, no.
Poor.
Phoebe urges Monica to sing at Mike's piano bar. The audience loves her, but only because the spotlight... This is the way they've written it. The spotlight reveals her breasts as she is not wearing a bra.
That makes it sound like it was written in some sort of romantic novel.
Yeah.
The spotlight revealed her breasts.
The spotlight moves across to slowly reveal her breasts as she's not wearing a bra under her see-through blouse. Someone's put a lot of detail into that sentence, you know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, an angry, paranoid Ross is thinking Rachel is moving on without the courtesy of telling him, then tries to find a date, eventually bringing home someone who just broke up with her ex-boyfriend. And Rachel, wanting to talk with Ross, realizes their arrangement. Their arrangement is not working, moves back in with Joey, taking Emma with her. Oh, and this synopsis has left out an entire plot line. Joey is getting some new headshots and wants to get his eyebrows done. Yeah. Also, what's this bloody synopsis not mentioned once, Pete?
What's not mentioned once?
The greatest character in all of Friends.
The greatest character in all of Friends.
Our favourite character here on the podcast.
Oh, Gavin!
Gavin!
Yeah, sorry. Slow to pick up
Gavin.
On that one.
God, it's been a long time since we talked about Gavin, to the point where there's probably people listening that don't even know we ever talked about Gavin.
He was big in COVID, wasn't he?
He was a big Corona character, wasn't he, Gavin?
Yeah.
To catch you up, if you haven't joined us since then, we used to do these quizzes every week in lockdown, and the first round would be like one question about each season, and question nine about season nine was always about Gavin, to the point where we were running real low on Gavin based.
I remember
trivia.
How tall is Gavin?
How tall is Gavin? Yeah. 5'11", I think, from memory. That sort of thing sticks with you.
Good height.
And this episode actually threw up a couple of the questions, like what was Gavin's former job, which was a rodeo clown.
What is a rodeo? I actually wrote this in my notes. What is a rodeo clown?
Yeah, this is the sort of thing that we just do not have.
Hang on, I'm Googling.
In this country, you know?
Rodeo clown. Yeah, it seems to be like someone who entertains people at a rodeo.
I don't really know what a rodeo is, frankly.
It's like people watch, like, bulls and stuff, isn't it?
Bulls and that, yeah. No, it's very much not a British phenomenon, the rodeo, is it?
No.
And also, I can't imagine Gavin being one.
Rodeo clowns are performers who work in bull riding competitions.
There you go. What specifically niche job, hey?
And they seem to have sort of classic clown makeup.
Can you imagine Gavin doing that?
Although I've Googled it, and one of the first ones I've found seems to have some sort of Confederate flag on his face.
Yeah, it does align with that in my head quite a lot, to be fair. I went to something akin to that in when I was in Tennessee.
Right.
Which was, I don't know if it was called a rodeo, it was a Dolly Parton thing.
Dixie Stampede?
Yes, Stampede.
I've been to Dixie Stampede.
Dolly Parton Stampede. That was
they had piglet racing.
Yes, tiny little pigs.
That is what a piglet is, yeah. Small pig.
Yeah, the whole thing was,
thank you for explaining piglets to me.
Frankly, very uncomfortable. I really didn't enjoy a lot of it at all.
I would like to make clear that I went many, many years ago.
I didn't. I went a couple of years ago. And I got
free
tickets.
You're problematic.
Well, I got free tickets, so I didn't feel like I contributed to it. In fact, I feel like I'm taking away financial gain from it, you know? But we met one of the riders in the bar the night before, and they gave us some free tickets.
Right.
And so we thought, I don't really know about this. But, you know, it's a free meal. It's a free dinner, isn't it?
I remember being served a beverage in a tankard.
Yeah, a lot of that, isn't there? A lot of that.
Like a glass, like jam jar with a handle. That's not a tankard, is it? It's a jam jar with a handle.
It's a jam jar with a handle, mate. Yeah.
Do you think you could outrun a piglet?
Yes. I think so. Are they fast?
Well, these ones were pretty nippy, if I remember correctly.
How fast?
I don't think you could outrun a piglet. I reckon a piglet could get away from you.
11 miles an hour? Shit the bed. That's quite fast, isn't it?
Yeah. Fair Do you enough. Know, this is here's a curious fact. That I believe is a fact, and I haven't checked, but I have every reason to believe it is a fact.
Yeah.
That the man who has the record for hiccuping the longest started getting hiccups while he was weighing a pig.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about here. Like, I don't know where this has come from on any level. I know the pig thing is the link, but...
So, the man who... I mean, I was just about to repeat exactly what I just said. I've been very clear.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, the words all make sense, you know?
Right.
But what?
So what's your beef or your pork?
What, my pork?
What's your pork?
Why is it significant that the man...
Because I learned that fact the other day, so I thought I'd share it with you.
And how long did he hiccup for?
Oh, like decades.
And did the pig have anything to direct influence on the hiccuping, or was it just coincidence?
Couldn't tell you.
Many things to find out, but in the meantime, should we talk about friends?
Yeah, all right.
Start with piano bar or eyebrows?
Eyebrows.
I mean, this whole plot line is very unrelatable in 2023, isn't it? Because it's just a whole story about the outrage of a man going to a beauty parlor, basically.
Yeah, as someone who's who overdid their eyebrows for many years, I would like to point out that Joey, the professional,
yeah,
does not do a good job.
Terrible.
Even of the one eyebrow. It doesn't look good.
No, it's awful eyebrow, isn't it?
Which I appreciate could be because he was sort of pulling away all the time.
But I would suggest that the professional has gone too far. Like, they're so thin, right?
Overplucked.
She could have stopped much earlier.
Yeah. It is possible to do your eyebrows in a way that makes them look pretty natural, but tidier.
Yeah.
Which is something I didn't learn until about not that long ago.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't line my eyebrows.
That's all I've ever done.
What?
Like the sort of rough... sometimes I would think they don't go far enough with my eyebrows. I think they're still a bit too natural.
Why, do you get a professional done?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, that's why this plot line is completely unrelatable to me. This is a regular thing.
I did mine myself.
When I get my hair cut, I get... Well, it comes with the beard trim for me.
Oh, okay.
It's all bundled in with a sort of facial hair tidy, you know?
Yeah, okay. God, beard you trim, must feel $1 million when you
eyebrows,
get...
Eyebrows, nose wax, that's the good bit.
Yeah.
Shove it right up there and get a bit of a wax there. And an ear flame. Have you had an ear flame?
I don't think I've ever had one, but I'm aware of their work.
They're great. They are real good, Pete. So yeah, that was my entire analysis of Joey's eyebrows, how bad she was at doing it. And Chandler, in fairness, was just trying to copy her, but as Rachel points out at the end, his eyebrows look weird, don't they?
They do, but Chandler does a great job of...
Matching them, yeah.
Of matching them. When I first did my eyebrows, I thought I'd done a really good job on them. And then I saw my sister for the first time in ages, and she basically did what Rachel did. And she's like, your eyebrows look weird. I was like, fucking brilliant.
Did you overcrank them, yeah?
Yeah, overcrank them. Yeah,
that'll happen, won't it? Quite a lot of sort of transphobic-y jokes in this bit as well, aren't there?
Yeah, Phoebe makes a weird comment about sex change, doesn't she?
Yeah, I feel like this is 2003. This is the 21st century, Pete.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is basically Joey going, is it all right for a girl? Also, he's an actor, right? This man has spent 10 years of his life putting makeup on every time he works. It shouldn't be weird that, even if socially everyone's not as progressive as they were, it shouldn't be weird that a male actor might engage in what they deem to be slightly feminine traits in terms of an appearance, you know?
The other strange bit is when Joey says, oh, do you get many guys come here? And the first thing... she says, are you looking to meet somebody? Like, why would that have been why Joey was asking? Why would that have worked? Like, he'd been, set me up with your random other client who also gets their eyebrows done.
Yes, and again, the implication that, yes, we do get men in here, but they're all gay.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, that's what she's basically saying, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
So, yeah. Anyway, he goes there. He can't deal with the pain, can he? He pulls away. I do like the slapstick of Joey putting his hand in the hot wax.
Yeah.
That's one of those sensations where just watching someone do it makes me feel like I've done it. Does that make sense?
Although, can I make a point? At the start, he says he's going to go get his eyebrows waxed.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
Plucked.
They don't wax them.
Don't wax them, do they? Well, she said we'll get to the waxing in a minute, but first let's pluck some.
Yeah, but like, is that a thing? Do you do both?
Well, she sort of said let's pluck the strays, didn't she?
Right.
But yeah, it does feel like you could just get around all of that with some wax. I don't know. Hey, do you know what, Pete? What we're learning here is we're not eyebrow professionals.
No.
The two of us.
Leave it to
Yet,
the pros.
Probably give myself a decent whack at doing a better job than she did.
Yeah, fair.
So anyway, Chandler then has to admit that he used to do his dad's eyebrows for his allowance. He saves the day. And then we get this like classic Friends bit where at the end, you know, Joey's like, curl my eyelashes. It's like they're both clearly really interested and excited to do all this beauty stuff, but they don't feel like they can admit it to each other, even though it's just them two, you know, and they're both clearly into it. There's just this really strange masculine energy around it, isn't there?
And yet equally, they're up for trying it once they think they've done some sort of masculine posturing.
Exactly.
Load of bollocks, bloody men.
Enjoy it, lads, eh? Enjoy it. To the piano bar.
Yes. I would, you know, Monica at the start is like reluctant and nervous.
Yes.
I would be like that. Like, this is my way of telling you, Dave, that if in the near future I visit the piano bar that you work in,
yeah,
I would not wish to sing.
No, well, don't worry. So what I would say about this piano bar is very different to my piano bar. And I have a disproportionate now amount of thoughts on the piano bar from a purely sort of...
Oh, no, this is your area. I'd expect thoughts on context if you didn't know weren't aware Dave co-owns a piano bar.
My thoughts are all just like operational and logistics. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, that's not... That first thing, what I can tell you is there ain't fucking anywhere near enough people in that piano bar for that business to function.
Yeah, it's pretty bad vibes, isn't it?
It's bad vibes and it's sparse and there's about, what, 15 people? He's drinking a cocktail. Like, those 15 people, I shit you not, Pete, are going to have to spend about $500, $600 each if they're going to even break even that night. And that ain't going to happen. That's what I'd say, number one. Two, some of those people are Mike's friends. Presumably they're drinking for free or discounted, you know?
Yeah.
So the economics just don't work. And overall, Pete, you won't have to suffer that indignity because what that piano bar has is no good vibes at all. Mm. Imagine just, it's so like sterile to be like, stand up on a stage with no atmosphere and watch while people judge you silently.
Touch themselves, apparently.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's a whole other security issue, isn't it? But the only time that crowd gets vaguely animated is when they can see nipples.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apart from that, they're just sitting. I just don't understand how anyone there is having fun.
And when you say vaguely animated by seeing the nipples, there are those guys in that bar, it's like they've never seen a nipple. They are absolutely loving it. They are punching the air. Yeah. They are whooping and a hollering. They are, two words I've never said, they are going for it.
And the guy that's touching himself has seemingly not had enough opportunities to look at breasts in his life that he feels the need to immediately masturbate.
And also do so when Chandler's singing about a frog.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's at least two characters in this episode that I think have quite severe mental problems, and this is one of them, you know?
I do like that when Monica realises that her visible nipples are why the crowd is loving her so much, I do like the kind of free the nipple vibes that happen afterwards. She's like, I don't care, I'm going to sing anyway.
Yeah, it's incredibly progressive in a lot of ways, actually, isn't it? She's just like, yeah, it doesn't matter. They're only nipples, aren't they? Like, you've only all got nipples. Yeah. If a man got his shirt off right now, what would be the issue, you know?
Yeah, quite.
So, my nipples are out. I'm going to go for it.
Do you expose your nipples when you perform?
Do you know what, Pete? Not deliberately, but I have on occasion accidentally had a nip slip whilst playing the piano.
Have you? Why? What were you wearing?
Sort of like occasionally I'll have like a sort of vest under an open shirt.
Right, got it.
And if the gesturing or
shirt a bit too open.
Exactly.
Yeah, fine.
Vest a bit too left or right.
Yeah.
I've noticed a couple of pictures at this point where I've been like, well, that is a full nipple out, isn't it?
Do people holler when they see your nipples?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe, I haven't thought back, but maybe those are the nights where the crowd goes the wildest.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll have to instigate some sort of deliberate nipple slip soon. Nipple slip? I think everyone's ever said that, have they? Like, the phrase is so clearly nip slip.
Nip slip, yeah. You've formalised it.
Nipple slipple. I'll have to do a nipple slipple soon to monitor the... And I'll set up a decibel-ometer and monitor how much louder the crowd is when a nipple is visible.
Well, be sure to report back.
I shall. But anyway, to sum up, if you come to my piano bar, you don't have to get up and sing. The whole point of ours is you gather on the piano and everyone sings along. And that is more fun than just watching people that are, let's face it, okay at singing, sing songs in a sort of average manner for an entire evening. That doesn't sound like a fun night to me.
No, I agree.
Anyway, Monica gets up and sings. Yes, we get all the whole nipple slipples, and then she just embraces it, like Pete says, and that's kind of the end of that. Chandler eventually gets up and does his own mediocre version of a song. And again, suffers the indignity of Kenneth. I presume it's Kenneth who sang I Touched Myself. And then the only other point to make is the exterior shot of Mike's piano bar is of a very cool spot in New York called Don't Tell Mama, which if you're ever in New York, do pay them a visit because it's a real piano bar and it's good vibes.
Right.
Unlike this one.
Your one?
No, unlike the one depicted in the television series Friends.
Fine.
Mike's piano bar, big thumbs down from me.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, Peter, we finally got to it. Our hero. The man we've been waiting to talk about all these weeks and months.
Yeah.
He returns for his final appearance.
Is it? Oh, yeah. I suppose he kind of gets knocked on the head here, doesn't he?
I think he's a three-episode arc, Max, is our Gav. Last appearance of Gavin and Molly, who has a sort of unceremonious ending.
I did wonder who the hell Molly was when she appeared, and then she was like, oh, nanny. Especially as she let herself in the flat. I was like, who the hell?
It's almost like Rachel has forgotten who she is as well, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, last appearance of Gavin... And look, Gavin, let's face it, we do joke about him being the greatest character in all of Friends. It's mainly because he has zero personality.
Yeah, he's not good.
He is not charismatic at all. And Peter, that is nothing to do with the fact that the actor that played Gavin refused to come on our podcast once.
Oh, yes, he did, didn't he?
Do you remember that?
I forgot about that.
Yes, our very good friend Lizzie, friend of the podcast, approached him, unbeknownst to us, frankly, and tried to persuade him to come on. He said, thanks, but no thanks.
To be fair, if I was invited on a podcast by someone who wasn't even the people who do the podcast, I'd be like, well, no.
Yeah, that's
I appreciate Lizzie acting on our behalf, but I feel like that invite had to come from us.
No, but Lizzie works for the company that hosts our podcast. She's much more impressive and senior than us, you know?
True, yeah. True.
So she is like a global figure in that company. So
she's
think
big in podcasts.
She's big in podcasts, mate. Yeah. But I would say the reason I found it surprising was because I just thought Dermot Mulroney, frankly, would have leapt at the chance to relive some sort of career glory.
Apparently not.
But now he's back in the spotlight, isn't he?
Oh yeah, what's he in now?
He's in that new Scream film with Monica.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's back on. He's just back on. He's suddenly back in our lives, old Gavin. But here he is causing havoc amongst the friends with Ross and Rachel. So this is the second week in a row now, Pete, where I have to take real issue with the speed and the acceleration of any vaguely romantic situation in Friends. So we were talking about it last week with Chandler and Kathy. You know, we were like, 2 weeks, fuck me, chill the fuck out, Chandler, you know?
Yeah.
And this week, we're now talking about a man that Rachel has met 4 days ago and kissed once. And we have this entire drama that ends up with Rachel moving out of Ross's apartment.
Yeah, he also comes over and brings a soup when he learns that she's having a sick day.
Yes.
Right, that's too much.
And then they sit down on the sofa and have this sort of conversation, which is akin to basically... we absolutely would immediately be in a relationship if it wasn't for this complicated situation. Like he says, it's just bad timing or something. As if they've both agreed, well, the chemistry here is so immediately quick that we might as well settle down together if it weren't for this awkward scenario.
It feels a bit like Rachel has two breakups in this episode, because she ends things with Gavin, and then the sort of Ross and the moving out of Ross is like a breakup in itself. Of
100%. But the first breakup, like I say, is that she didn't even like the guy until last night, right? So in her timeline, a guy she met 4 days ago and hated at the office has then got to the point of thinking actually he's all right and giving him a little, let's call it a little peck, you know, 12 hours earlier. And now suddenly she's having a full breakup with him.
I really don't like this kind of Rachel and Ross era, because it's just unpleasant. But also the whole kind of issue that Ross has with the situation is quite kind of it's very complex and not very easy to drop into an episode of a sitcom. Like, it's all, I don't know, it all feels really messy.
Yeah, this is not good Ross behavior, you know. Ultimately what we discover when he sort of sums it up is that she has kissed one man and given another man her number, that's it, in the space of a month. And let's not forget, she is single, technically. They're not together. Like, they have this slightly complicated situation, but it's not like she's, like, bringing guys around to the apartment and shagging him every night so he can hear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're talking a single peck that he inadvertently saw and she didn't mean him to, and a number exchange.
Yeah, which does happen. We see that, right? Like, that happens at the end of the episode, doesn't it?
Yeah, from the bar, yeah.
So even that callback is something that, I don't know, because I've not instantly just watched the episode where that happens.
Oh, it's so insignificant. Yeah. It's so insignificant. I mean, like, frankly, how many times have you given someone your number on a night out and, like, at most you exchange about 3 messages and then nothing ever happens, and often nothing even ever happens at all. You know, like, giving someone a number is such a... It's barely even a move anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little gesture.
It just doesn't feel like a thing. It's just like, how do we stay in touch? Or, you know, these days getting someone's, like, Instagram or something is like... That's the equivalent of exchanging numbers back in the day.
I know it's very easy for us to be dismissive of latter Friends episodes and the suggestion that they've sort of declined in quality, but there's a couple of moments in this one where I think a few things don't quite land. Like, there's that scene where Chandler and Ross are sat in Central Perk and Ross makes a joke about, like, oh, shouldn't you be at work, to Chandler, because he doesn't have a job. And then that conversation ends with him literally being like, shouldn't you be at work again? And I appreciate that he's trying to, like, double down on the highlighting that Chandler hasn't got much to do, but it's literally the same joke.
Yes. No, I know. There's a couple of lines. So in the very first scene as well, when Ross comes over and Chandler's in the apartment, there's, like, that line about... I really actually enjoyed Chandler's little mumbly story about putting lights out on the balcony. I thought that was really funny and sort of throwaway. But then Ross's comeback to that is honestly one of the worst lines in all of Friends, for my money, where he just goes, yeah, that's what I came over to talk to you about. Rachel was kissing Gavin on the balcony, even though there were no lights. Like, there's so many jokes he could have made there. And even though there were no lights.
Yeah.
That's barely even a sentence. Never even a, no mind a joke.
Yeah, it's weird. There's just, like, and I think I noticed it more because this episode is a touch longer. Friends at its peak, like, at the very least, every other line is a great joke, right? And that is so watered down, particularly in this episode, perhaps because they've had to stretch the scenes out to make it longer.
Potentially. I still think the budget that they have and the amount of writers they have, that's not much of an excuse. And there's another line when Rachel and Ross are having their argument where Ross says, oh, that's a shame. I was hoping we could come to one of your kissing parties on the balcony.
Yeah.
Boo. Shit line.
Yeah.
Absolutely shit. Don't like that at all. And before any of you get in contact and say, stop getting all negative about Friends. We like Friends. We love Friends. We agree, you know. We occasionally get people saying that, don't we?
Without getting too deep, and I think I've made this point before.
Please get deep.
Like, right. I think if you love something, like we all enjoy Friends or like a singer or a TV series, you are able to identify when that thing that you love is not at its best.
Of course.
And compare it to the greatest hits, if you like.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that's what we're saying, aren't we? We're saying it's that parental thing of I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. It would be disingenuous if we were to say that everything Friends did was fucking brilliant, because it's not. A lot of it is.
A lot of it's excellent.
Some of it is not.
Yeah. No, there were just like, in this sort of episode, more than many, there's like two or three moments where I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good line. And do you know what? The kissing party on the balcony, do you know what's indicative of how bad a line that is? The audience doesn't even laugh. They don't. There's
and
no,
those
there's
guys not... laugh at everything.
Those guys are literally primed to laugh at any single thing. Yeah, and they don't laugh, and it's edited just so the next line comes in straight away. It's really noticeable. Anyway, why to go over what we've just been saying, let's highlight some of our favourite things about this plotline. I really enjoy Ross and Chandler trying to chat up those two women. And what I would say is those two women can go and fuck themselves, because they are not fun. Chandler's opening line about the human pyramid is brilliant. Like, if anyone approached me in a bar with that, I would be thrilled to engage in conversation with them, I think.
Yeah.
I know they're supposed to be painting him as like a dorky icebreaker, but it's funny. Yeah, and it's a good opening line.
It's good.
And then even Ross's terrible, terrible chat up lines, which are...
Would you rather be drowned or burned alive?
Yeah, but still, if somebody said that and they were clearly a bit awkward and shit at this...
You try and answer the question.
You can engage in conversation and have a lot of fun with that, can't you?
Yeah.
I don't think... The way they look at them with disdain and then just go, oh, we're just leaving. It's like, you do not want to date those women. They are boring. Dull as fuck. But then I would say, on the flip side, Ross is deranged in this episode. He's literally...
He's just bouncing between tables.
But for, like, hours, seemingly. Yeah. Like, just hours going up to any woman in that coffee shop, in a small, small room that is that coffee shop, and just approaching anyone to the point where he's forgotten who he's chatted up. Like, this is creepy creeperson, isn't it?
I do think that it kind of highlights how dreadful dating must be before smartphones. Because having to like physically find a date, like in person, the idea of that mortifies me.
Does it really?
Yeah, God.
See, I don't use dating apps at all, really.
Do you not?
And I still meet anyone I meet out, basically. And I much prefer that, because I think you get a vibe within like 3 minutes, you know?
Oh yeah, okay.
Like that, would you rather be drowned or burnt alive thing, right? You could have awkward small talk on a dating app around that conversation for a while without really getting how much someone's actually engaging with it. Do you know what I mean?
What's your response to that question?
Oh, it's a tricky one. I believe drowning is supposed to be more painless.
Yeah.
I think there's a point quite early on in the drowning process, and don't quote me on this, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've read that.
How would anyone be able to correct you if you're wrong?
Well, I think there are sort of some scientific data about, I don't know, mate. Yeah, I don't know if you're quite right.
Scientific data about people's experiences of drowning to death.
Or maybe hypotheses. I don't know, Pete. But I think the theory is supposed to be that quite early in that drowning process, your body goes into such shock that it sort of shuts down before, do you know what I mean? Horribly painful. I don't know if the same as being burnt alive. That sounds horrendous, doesn't it?
I'm starting to detect why the conversation might not be particularly sexy with a date.
Oh, Pete, I'm not saying it was sexy. I'm just saying could have at least engaged a bit. And
I'm
then
not
moved
saying
it on.
It's sexy. I'm just saying probably drowning.
Yeah, fine. Right. And do you know what? Another flood in Europe, huh? Yeah. Classic Europe, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Known for our floods.
Yeah.
Can't go anywhere without a fucking flood these days.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
There you go. So there's another
flood global warming
this week.
Ahead of its time, that joke.
Ahead of its time. And then obviously we get to the troubling bit where, after wandering around the coffee house for hours, Ross deliberately targets a woman who is, you know, at best emotionally vulnerable, at worst deeply psychologically troubled.
Yeah.
And deliberately targets her and sort of takes her home. And then even he seems to look a bit exasperated by her behavior, despite how he's decided to approach her knowing what she's like, you know?
Yeah, and instantly gone along with her ending up in his apartment.
Yeah, and he like is rolling his eyes in the apartment as if to be like, oh, you're such a weirdo. It's like, you saw her come in, you heard what she said, and you tried to bang her.
Yeah.
Like, this is all on you.
He saw it as an opportunity.
Yeah, and then he goes even one step further and pretends to Rachel that it's like a real... he's so desperate to make her jealous that he pretends it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, cringe.
Ugh, the whole thing. I don't like it, Pete. I don't like it. And then I would say, did you notice this? And please go back and look if you did. During Ross and Rachel's argument, is Rachel wearing her top inside out?
Oh, I didn't notice it.
It's either very stylistically designed to seem like an inside out shirt, or it's just inside out. Like all the, you know, all like the seams and all the things are showing.
Jennifer Aniston as Rachel could make an inside out shirt look like a cool
100%, thing. 100%. It doesn't necessarily look bad. It just looks inside out. Maybe it's a deliberate style choice, you know? So there you go. And then my favourite line of the whole episode, I think, is probably because we're 9.5 seasons in before Chandler finally admits, what are you doing? You know I can only dish it out.
Yeah, that is good.
Which is a single sentence that sums up Chandler's entire personality.
Yeah, a bit of self-awareness.
Bit of self-awareness, and I'm glad he finally gets there. Shall we play a fun game of Quiz Jeopardy?
Yes. Yes, let's do that.
Play a little sting.
Yeah, there's a quiz.
Oh, wasn't very good, was it?
Not that on the head. Kerry, the requester, Jeopardy. Has provided a quiz.
Kerry, you are a mensch, an uber mensch.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Question one. What song does Phoebe sing at Mike's piano bar?
We Are the Champions.
Is correct. Question two. Why can't Michelle use public bathrooms? It's to do, like, something to do with parasites.
Doody parasites, I think it was. I
don't like that expression.
No.
Correct. Question three. We know this. What job did Gavin previously have?
Oh, rodeo clown.
Correct. What is Chandler's secret to pain-free eyebrow plucking? Ice.
Is it chamomile lotion or something?
Aloe vera.
Aloe vera.
Ice and his gentle self-loathing touch. question five. What would Monica have been doing at the end of the party and so missed Gavin and Rachel kissing? Ironing wrapping paper,
yes. Yeah. Funny joke. I enjoyed that.
Thank you, Kerry. Kerry also adds,
yes.
Thanks for all the lols on the podcast.
Okay.
And then says, I hope the piano bar opening has been amazing, Dave.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you so much. Nice, yes, it went very well. Thank you very much. And thanks to everyone that has been in touch this week to say similar things. It's been very sweet. Please do come and visit us. We're on Greek Street in Soho, called Overtures, and it's upstairs in a place called Lush.
Lush.
Lush, L-O-U-C-H-E, Lush.
All right. Do you want to know next week's episode, now that you've finished plugging your fucking bar?
Yeah. sorry, Pete.
I'm joking.
Plug your own bar if you want.
I don't have a bar.
Exactly. Pipe it.
next week's episode is Season 7, Episode 9, the one with all the candy.
One with all the candy. That's a coincidence, Pete, because I'm starting a candy store next week.
It's upstairs above Loosh.
Goodbye. See you then. All the best. Fare thee well. Crib out.
Crib out. Me too.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.